listen to the Newsom's welcome.
Ryan, we love you.
Oh, you muted them.
Oh, sorry. Oh, man. I tried to mute.
Like I was saying before, my brother muted me, and we want to welcome everybody to tonight's Hudson Valley Church virtual service. My name is Celine Newsom. For those that may not know, this is Kenneth. This is my lovely wife, Sephora, and this is my daughter, Alina. And we are the Newsoms, and we just want to welcome everyone, whether you're a returning visitor, a first-time visitor, or if you're a member, which you have no choice, we just want to welcome everyone, and we want to hope that everyone is doing well. We know that we're going through a lot of trying times right now. However, we all know that we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as an example. But with that said, I'll go ahead and pass over to Kenny as he reads the scripture.
Romans 5, verse 1 through 5 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we stand now, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not push us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us."
So I just wanted to share quickly that I know our church family and our family here has been through so much and had our fair share of sufferings this last year. We started the year with broken hearts as Celine was still overseas serving. And then there was surgery, there were deaths and losses of several family members. And we remained at home while wrestling in our hearts and our mind with our children as the world exposed the racial injustice in our country. I love to cook, and so thinking of Romans 5, I'm thinking I'd like to believe that we use all those sufferings to cook up a big pot of perseverance so that we can have hope. Through it all, God was by our side, and there were many blessings that came through the pain. Too many that we can't mention all tonight. But one in particular, we were extremely grateful for the church that through this time, they were not tone deaf. We endured together. We tried to our best to meet each other's needs. We listened to one another. We prayed for each other. We learned together, especially this January through the phenomenal series that was taught by our very own Dr. Steve Kinnard. We are so excited as we continue this work together in the spirit of hope. Alina's going to pray.
God, you are mighty, powerful, awesome, and amazing. You're truly the way maker and the one and only light in the darkness. Please forgive us for the moments when things were difficult and we doubted your power. Thank you for the church, which has been a great example of what God's kingdom should look like, where we can lean on each other and work together to face challenges. Thank you for the technology that has allowed us to stay connected for the past 11 months. Please help us to continue to have hope in the future and to overcome whatever craziness the world has in store for us. Please help us to recover from the pandemic and have good health this year. Please be with Mr. Ryan as he preaches and teaches about hope tonight. Help us to focus, and please give him the words that you want us to hear. God, we love you. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Back to you, brother. Welcome, everyone.
Oh, man. I can't follow that up. That was amazing. Awesome. Mic drop. Everybody give it up for the Newsoms. Oh my goodness. Thank you for that. What an amazing welcome. An amazing family. Great message. Appreciate you guys a ton. I mean, what a great way to start off our series here of Voices of Hope. And so I'm going to share that in just a second with you. Okay, great. I wanted to make sure that our screen was pinned. But yeah, it's great to be together tonight. I hope that everyone is doing well. I do want to say a few things before we jump into the lesson. You can turn with me in your Bibles over to Genesis 15. We're going to go old school. We're going to start from the beginning. We're going to talk about Abraham and the hope that God gave to Abraham and how Abraham became a voice of hope for all of us. And so we'll take a look at that in just a second. I do want to say happy Black History Month. So February is Black History Month. We are celebrating that. Different ways that certainly we can celebrate that. One of the things that we've been doing is, you know, we start the morning talking to Alexa, and she often has some Black history to share with us. And so anyway, wanted to wish everyone a happy Black History Month. And so along with that, the Newsoms mentioned this, but we just finished up a great series talking about the Bible and racial justice. So if you haven't listened to those, you can go back and listen to that midweek series. If you need that connection, just let me know. I can send you the link. Also, those are up on our podcast channel as podcasts. You can find that on the website, or if you have a podcast app, you can look up the Hudson Valley Church and you can find those podcasts there. But fortunately, we can learn more about racial justice in the church. In fact, this weekend, there is a workshop on Saturday, that's February 6th, called Racial Justice in the Church. And I'm actually going to ask Katie to put the website in the chat. So it's milestonechurches.com. Yeah. milestonechurches.com/racial-justice. So check that out. It's all free. Lots of great classes lined up for Saturday, and then the following Saturday, you can learn more. So Steve's doing a class this Saturday. Certainly you can check that out, but there's lots of other great speakers as well. So let's continue this education that we have started here in the Hudson Valley Church and learn as much as we can so that we can be people who love and do justice. Also wanted to mention that this Saturday is Solid Rock for the teens. And so that's also done virtually. So you can check out the link for that, but wanted to mention that's coming up this Saturday. This Sunday, as usual, we have all of our children's classes. So we have a young children's class that's infants to age 4, beginning at 9:30 a.m. I'll send out the link for that. Parents, please attend that as well. At 10 a.m., we have a children's class. So those younger than preteen and young teen can join that. That's done by Yvette and Nelson. I'm going to turn over to them in just a second.
That young class is really short. So for parents it would be great to attend with your child.
Yeah.
It's really short.
15 minutes, lots of fun and some good discussion about the Bible. And then 11 a.m. is our virtual service. And then at 12:30 p.m. is our preteen, young teen class. So at this time, I do want to turn it over to Nelson and Yvette because they have an announcement about our children's classes.
Okay, I'll start again. So Yvette and I want to just take a few minutes to talk about the children's ministry. First of all, want to say a shout out to one of our star pupils, Alina, who just did a group praying. And, you know, we feel it's so important to teach the kids during this pandemic, to keep them together, to help them build a relationship with each other. And, you know, first of all, we want to thank the parents for encouraging their kids to come to class. We're getting a very good turnout with the students. Us as teachers, we're having a blast teaching the class. And, you know, we really feel that it's important to share with the students about the Bible and, you know, have fun with that. We usually have songs and just a lot of different things that we offer to the children. So we encourage you to continue to have your children go to the classes. We also want to thank the teachers who have been teaching, you know, all throughout 2020, and also currently. And I just want to hand over to Yvette. She's going to talk a little bit more about the classes and also ask for help from everybody. Thank you.
Well, I want to say thank you to Kenny and Alina, because you two have grown up in the children's ministry. You did it was just beautiful hearing from your heart, and that just shows your light. And we're just so thankful to be part of your family. So besos to you guys. But we just wanted everyone to know and give you an update. We have three classes right now in the children's ministry. We have the 0 to 4 years old. We have kindergarten to fourth grade. And then we have the preteens. And just so that you know, Santori's have been teaching the preteens since the pandemic started. And as far as having subs for them, they actually are looking for subs for the summer. So if we can help them out, that would be great. But one of the things that we wanted to do was just to continue to plant God's word in our children. And we need your help. We need your help from all the children's ministry, screen teachers, especially parents. We're asking that perhaps if you can commit perhaps 4 Sundays a month, totaling a month. And that way, you know, every month we'll just have a new set of teachers, and that just makes it easy on all of us. Anything else I'm missing? I think that's it. We just need teachers for the young class, which the Irby's are teaching now, and then the K-4, which is the class that we're teaching. So we would like to just share the love that we have with you guys in the coming months, perhaps next month or the month after. And just listen, we have amazing teachers in the Hudson Valley. And so we're hoping we can make this happen for our children. So maybe we could send a remind text with my phone number, Ryan and Katie, if that's possible. So that way anyone could reach out to me and I could just talk more about it. Okay, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yvette, if you just shoot me a text right now and remind me, that I can send out that remind text when we're done. Let's see here. There we go. Okay. And I want to say a big thanks to Yvette and Nelson. I mean, they've just done a phenomenal job leading our service teams and also really leading our children's ministry. And they're getting claps from a lot of people right now. So there you go. Appreciate that a ton. I do want to say a special encouragement to the parents. If you are a parent and your child participates in the children's ministry, it's a great opportunity for you to teach and get involved with them and also connect with some of the other kids that they're connected to. So if you're kind of, you know, on the fence here, man, should I help? Definitely jump in, throw your name in the hat. And I think you'll be happy with participating in that and volunteering. It's a great way to serve and a great way to help the kids. Okay, so a few more events coming up that I wanted to announce, and then I got a great video for you here in just a second. So next week we are going to be meeting in life groups. So we're back on our normal rotation with midweeks and life groups. So next week we'll be meeting in life groups. I'll send out a message to the life group leaders about here's what you can talk about this week in life groups. Then next Saturday, so not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday, we have an Edge devotional. I sent the flyer out about that last week, so you can look at that for more details, and I can send that out again, so that's fresh in your mind. Also wanted to mention that next Saturday, again, that's February 20th, there is a marriage workshop. Dr. Jennifer Konzen and Tim Konzen are back. They're going to be doing Art of Intimate Marriage Part 2. They did Part 1 in the fall. They'll be doing Part 2 for us coming up here in a couple weeks. It's a great opportunity to learn about marriage, to talk about marriage, so you don't want to miss that. We're also going to be joined by the Albany Ministry. Long Island's going to be joining us, and Staten Island as well. So a great event lined up in a couple weeks. And so the week after February 20th, we typically meet in life groups, but what we're gonna do that week is that the singles will meet in their life groups and follow up from their devotional, talk about how it went, any reflections on that. And then the marrieds are not gonna meet in their regular life groups. They're gonna connect with one or two other married couples and talk about how the marriage workshop went. So you can set that up now and just be prepared for that post-workshop. And then lastly, I'm going to turn it over to my amazing and beautiful wife to talk about Women's Day.
Okay, so this is for the women on March 7th, which is a Sunday. We will be celebrating International Women's Day. And International Women's Day is a global holiday, and we'll celebrate together as with an all women's church service on that Sunday at 11 a.m. So it'll be at the same time as our usual church service. Our theme is For Such a Time as This, and it's inspired by Queen Esther and her heroic example of hopeful perseverance during a challenging time for her people. It'll be an amazing time of worship, sisterhood, and inspiration. And since the since purple is the color of royalty, we're asking everyone who attends to wear something purple. And then also feel free to bring a mug of like your favorite beverage, just as a way to kind of feel united, like we're celebrating together. It's going to be an interesting platform. It will be broadcast on YouTube like our normal service, but it will be a live, it'll be a mixture of live interactive things and then also some pre-recorded things. So it'll be a really special time together. I'm actually on the planning team, and it's just going to be awesome. So women, don't miss that. And then one simple announcement I have also a favor is, if there's any women out there who feel like they've thrived during this pandemic, or they've tackled something during this pandemic that they're really proud of, that they've put their mind to, if you could get in touch with me, they're looking for just a couple people to give examples of, for such a time as this, I have decided to do this, or I have accomplished this, or whatever. So if you have any ideas, or you're feeling proud in any way of things that you've accomplished during this time, let me know for sure. That's all I got.
All right. Sounds great. Lots of great events coming up. Lots to look forward to and be hopeful about. Speaking of hope, we're going to transition now into our midweek class. We're beginning a midweek series entitled Voices of Hope. And I want to give a big shout out to Tiffany Del Fierro, who created our image and the artwork for our new series, again, called Voices of Hope. So we're going to begin by talking about, what is hope? I think for a lot of us, we have an idea about what hope is. We talk about hope quite a lot. We throw it out there. But what is hope? And what is biblical hope? And so we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second, and realize that God certainly is the voice of hope. Jesus Christ is the voice of hope. But when we look at the scriptures, we hear lots of voices of hope. When we talk to each other and we can talk about hope and give people hope, we can be voices of hope. But hope has a lot to do with waiting, waiting and anticipating a better future, a better tomorrow. And so to get some participation going, in the chat, I want you to write and identify something that you're hoping for. And it could be something, you know, more on the spiritual side if you want. It could be something like, man, I'm really hoping for God to help me with this character issue or change in my life. Or you could say something like, man, I'm really hopeful that the pandemic's going to end soon, that we can get back to some normalcy. I'm waiting for that to happen. You can talk about, I'm waiting for
kids to go back to school.
Yeah, the snow to melt. I don't know, more snow. Or I'm waiting for racial injustice to end. Certainly we've been talking about that, and so that's something that you can indicate. So let's put some things in the chat. What is it that you're hoping for? What is that that you find yourself waiting for?
Corinne, waiting for that baby.
Corinne, there you go. Yeah, hopeful about that baby. Hoping for having friends over for a fun time together. Praying for peace within my personal life. Yeah, amen. I think a lot of us can feel that and experience that. Herd immunity, stay safe and healthy delivery for Corinne. Amen. Yeah, let's be praying about that for her. Can't wait to see my sister who lives in New Jersey get baptized. Shirley, yeah, awesome. We saw some baptisms over the Remind message, Gio's family. That was awesome. Hope for peace, Haiti. Go on vacation. Yeah.
I'm with
you. Yep. Our neighbors were commenting. Our neighbors were commenting that they last 16 years they've spent in Hawaii. This is their first year that they've been here, and of course they get dumped on by a ton of snow. So, you know, that's the way it goes. But emptying my mother's apartment before her lease expires. Fiona, yeah. Hoping for service to be approved for my father with dementia. Yeah, amen. As a vet. Salim, we're hoping for the end of the pandemic to travel and come back to normalcy. Yeah, I'm feeling that vaccine. Even more now. Hoping to take the vaccine, yeah, to keep my grades up. Amen. Amen. Yeah, lots of things that we're hopeful for. You know, I know for me personally, I mean, I feel that with the pandemic, but, you know, I'm also feeling that I want to see an end to racial injustice. Yeah, just something that really affects me and really gets to me. And so something that I've been thinking a lot about lately. Landry Songer, big shout out to Landry from West Point, hoping to get released from the Academy lockdown soon and be a real person again. Yeah, I mean, I could imagine that challenge with that. Hopeful for change and personal growth, hopeful that I'll become closer to God, hoping for peace and an end to racial injustice. Amen to all of those hopes. Let's be praying for each other with that. What I want to do now, before we jump into Genesis 15, so I have a little lesson from Genesis 15 that I'm going to share in just a minute on hope. I want to take a good look at and kind of a broad view of what hope means according to the Bible. It might be a little bit different than what you're thinking when you think of hope. But the Bible Project has put together a great video about what hope is, especially biblical hope. So I wanted us to check that out. Now, just full disclosure, this is from Advent, from the Advent season. Now, we're not technically in Advent, but hey, I mean, we're all waiting, you know, for the arrival, the second coming of Christ. And so in that sense, we are. But it's a great video about hope, especially from the Bible. So let's check this out, and then we'll jump into Genesis 15.
So let's say you want to describe the feeling of anticipating a future that's better than the present. You might be giddy or excited or maybe unsure, but most of us know that experience. We call it hope. It's a state of anticipation, and it's crucial for healthy human existence. And it's a really important concept in the Bible. In fact, there are many words for hope in the ancient languages of the Bible, and they're all fascinating. In the Old Testament, there are two main Hebrew words translated as hope. The first is yachal, which means simply to wait for. Like in the story of Noah and the ark, as the floodwaters recede, Noah had to yachal for weeks. The other Hebrew word is kava, which also means to wait. It's related to the Hebrew word kav, which means cord. When you pull a kav tight, you produce a state of tension until there's release. That's kava, the feeling of tension and expectation while you wait for something to happen. The prophet Isaiah depicts God as a farmer who plants vines and kavahs for good grapes. Or the prophet Micah talks about farmers who both kavah and yachal for morning dew to give moisture to the land. So in biblical Hebrew, hope is about waiting or expectation. But waiting for what? In the period of Israel's prophets, as the nation was sinking into self-destruction, Isaiah said, "At this moment, the Lord's hiding his face from Israel, so I will kavah for him." The only hope Isaiah had in those dark days was the hope for God himself. You find the same notion of hope all over the book of Psalms, where these words appear over 40 times. In almost every case, what people are waiting for is God. Like in Psalm 130, the poet cries out from a pit of despair, "I kavah for the Lord. Let Israel yachal for the Lord, because he's loyal and will redeem Israel from its sins." Biblical hope is based on a person, which makes it different from optimism. Optimism is about choosing to see in any situation how circumstances could work out for the best. But biblical hope is not focused on circumstances. In fact, hopeful people in the Bible often recognize there's no evidence things will get better, but you choose hope anyway. Like the prophet Hosea, he lived in a dark time when Israel was being oppressed by foreign empires, and he chose hope when he said God could turn this valley of trouble into a door of hope, like the day when Israel came up from the land of Egypt. God had surprised his people with redemption back in the days of the Exodus, and he could do so again. So it's God's past faithfulness that motivates hope for the future. You look forward by looking backward, trusting in nothing other than God's character. It's like the poet of Psalm 39 who says, "And now, O Lord, what else can I kavah for? You are my yachal." In the New Testament, the earliest followers of Jesus cultivated this similar habit of hope. They believed that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection was God's surprising response to our slavery to evil and death. The empty tomb opened up a new door of hope, and they used the Greek word elpis to describe this anticipation. The Apostle Peter said that Jesus' resurrection opened up a living hope, that people can be reborn, to become new and different kinds of humans. More than once, the Apostle Paul says the good news about Jesus announces the elpis of glory. In both cases, this elpis is based on a person, the risen Jesus, who has overcome death. And this hope wasn't just for humans. The apostles believed that what happened to Jesus in the resurrection was a foretaste of what God had planned for the whole universe. In Paul's words, it's a hope that creation itself will be liberated from slavery to corruption into freedom when God's children are glorified. So Christian hope is bold, waiting for humanity and the whole universe to be rescued from evil and death. And some would say it's crazy, and maybe it is, but biblical hope isn't optimism based on the odds. It's a choice to wait for God to bring about a future that's as surprising as a crucified man rising from the dead. Christian hope looks back to the risen Jesus in order to look forward. And so we wait. That's what the biblical words for hope are all about. So let's say you want to
So amen. I hope that that video was helpful. I know when I watched that some time ago, it was really helpful for me in terms of thinking about hope and biblical hope being not so much about circumstances, but really about a choice to put my hope in God. Our theme passage for Voices of Hope is Psalm 42, verse 11, where the psalmist writes, "My soul was downcast. Why am I downcast?" And then he says, "I will put my hope in God, and I will again praise him, my Savior and my God." And that's what biblical hope is all about, putting our hope, choosing to put our hope and to wait on God. And then as we think about the New Testament, it's the same concept. It's the same idea that we put our hope in the person of Jesus. And when we look at Genesis 15, we see the voice of hope being God himself as he speaks to Abraham, talking about these promises and how he'll fulfill those promises. But then there's this really interesting part of the story that he foreshadows and gives Abraham this image of Jesus. And if we don't look closely and understand a little bit about the context and a little bit about the history of the Bible and especially historical context, then we miss that connection. And so I want us to dive into that tonight. We might have some time later to break out into breakout rooms, because as the video talked about and as the scriptures tell us, is that we can cultivate hope in God as we look into the past and we reflect on the things that God has done throughout history to positively influence people and to bring about positive things in people's lives, to redeem people, to help people, to protect people, and even for ourselves as Christians, as we look back to our baptism, reflecting on that, realizing that God has snatched us away from and out of the kingdom of darkness, out of this world, and into his kingdom of light. But even outside of that, he's also helped us in lots of different ways. And as we reflect on that, it helps us to cultivate hope, and then we can be a voice of hope to a dark world. So let's look at Genesis 15. We'll break this down a little bit together. Again, maybe we'll have some time for some breakout rooms, but I wanna focus on this for now. So Genesis 15, I'm gonna read from the English Standard Version, and then I'm also going to kind of go bit by bit, break it down as we go, and give you some real solid practicals as we reflect on this and think about Voices of Hope. So in chapter 15, so where we pick up the story is that Abraham had just rescued Lot. He had defeated some Mesopotamian kings. And then he has this interaction with Melchizedek. And I'm not going to go into the details around that. There's a part of that that just blows my mind. Like, where did Melchizedek come from and where did he go? But he gets this blessing from Melchizedek. And then in verse 15, or in chapter 15, that's where we pick up the story. So after these things, what I just described, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. So we hear this voice of hope being God. He's talking to Abraham and it says, fear not, Abraham. Well, man, that's a voice of hope right there. Don't be afraid. God says that over and over throughout the scriptures. He says, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. So he talks about, hey, I'm your shield, I'm your protection, I'm your sovereign king. And that in and of itself is the voice of hope. And he gives hope as a person. Hey, I'm the one that you can put your hope in. And he says that your reward shall be very great. And so he gives Abraham something to look forward to, something to wait for, something to anticipate. And then he gets specific in just a second about what that is. But look at Abraham's response. In verse 2, he says, but Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And so back in Genesis 12, verse 2, God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of many, of multitudes. And so you fast forward some time later and Abraham's reflecting on that a little bit like, hey, God, I remember when you said that, you just said again that you're going to give me this great reward, but I'm childless. And that was a devastating experience for a man at that time to not have any children, to not have an heir, to not have someone to pass along his life and his experience to. And so Abraham's feeling pretty defeated at this point. He's feeling pretty out of hope, we'll say. And he expresses that to God. And I think one of the things that we can pull from this is that, hey, sometimes we can lose hope. Yeah, even as Christians. I know I've experienced that in my life at different times where I can lose hope. And I can feel discouraged and I can feel down, like Psalm 42 verse 11 says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so in turmoil within me? And Abraham is expressing that, and that's okay. I think we need to go to God with that, to be vulnerable with him and to express these things to him. But then eagerly anticipate a response from God. In verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. The voice of hope being God again comes to Abraham. And this is what he says. This man shall not be your heir. And so when he was talking about Eleazar, he's talking about his servant who actually later goes and finds a wife for Isaac. And that's fast forward a few chapters in Genesis. But he says, no, that man will not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, I love this. I love this about God. And so he's like, hey, look, you're going to have a son. I promise you that. I am the voice of hope here. You can trust in me. And then he brings him outside and he gives him this image to focus on. And I love that about God. You know, when we go outside, when we look at the snow, when we look at the trees, when we look at the mountains, we can see bits and pieces of God and remember and reflect on God's promises. When we look at water, we can remember how through Jesus, God satisfies our souls. When we look at the mountains, we can see that God is a rock and he is our rock if we put our faith in him. And so he takes him outside and he says, look toward heaven. And man, I love looking at the stars. But he says, and number the stars, if you're able to number them. Wow. Think about this for a second. Abraham has no children. Sarah, his wife, is not pregnant right now. But God gives him this amazing vision for his life, this bold promise, this incredible hope that God puts before him. He says, if you're able to number them, look at those stars. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Wow. You know, the video talked about optimism being like, well, you know, I could sort of fit together the pieces of what I see. No. That's not what's being talked about here. This is hope. This is God talking about, there's no evidence that this is going to happen, but I'm going to do it for you because I am an amazing and awesome God of hope. So shall your offspring be. And then verse six, this classic passage that's quoted a number of times in the New Testament. And he believed the Lord. Abraham believed the Lord. Oh my goodness. He put faith in God and this amazing promise and this incredible hope. And God counted it to him as righteousness. And that's what we see when we look at the book of Romans, that Abraham's faith, his trust in God, his confidence in God, his hopefulness for what's not being seen at that time was credited to him as righteousness, as a godly way of being. He didn't do anything. He believed. And, you know, for us as Christians, when we put our hope and our faith and our confidence in Jesus Christ, it's credited to us as righteousness. And what an amazing example that we see in Abraham, a voice of hope he later becomes and becomes, you know, at this time for us, what faith we can see in him. And then in verse 7, it says, and he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. Now, this is really important to understand. God had brought Abraham out of Ur, and he was going to give him a land to possess, and he was going to give his descendants the promised land to possess. And so what God was doing here is he was getting Abraham to reflect on what God had already done for him. To do what? To inspire hope within him. As we think about the Bible Project video, one of the things that was talked about in there is that the way that we cultivate hope is we reflect on the past and we look at the things that God has already done in our past. We see that in the Bible, lots of great stories about God coming through in amazing ways. And we see that in the life of Abraham. But we can do that in our own lives. One of the things that we have to do in our lives as Christians is to remember the things that God has brought us through and brought us out of. You know, I reflect on my own life, different sin challenges that I've had, different circumstances that I felt hopeless in, and God walking me through those things. And if nothing else, God bringing me out of the darkness that was my life and into his glorious light. And one of the things that you should notice here in verse 7, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans. Later in the scriptures, after the Exodus experience, God uses that same phrasing to say, I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt, out of Egyptian rule, out of slavery for 430 years. And so God constantly points his people back to that because he wants them to remember what he had done and that he'll do it again. And see, that cultivates hope. And so we've got to do that in our own lives. And so what I'll talk about later is really challenging all of us to reflect on those things with one another. We'll do that in life groups next week. And if there's time tonight, we'll do that in our breakout rooms. But what are the things that God has done in your life? What are the things that God has brought you through to inspire hope within you? And then in verse 9, he says, But he said, oh, Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? So this is Abraham's question. And a fair question. And I think we need to look at this as a great example for us. If we have questions about, God, you said that, you know, I should be courageous in life and that, you know, I should be able to, you know, through you conquer sin. Man, how am I going to do that? You've called me to reach out to those around me and to be a light in a dark world. How can I do that? Well, we can go to God with those questions. We shouldn't be afraid to ask God those questions. And so God said to him, now check this out. This is really, really cool. I mean, the other stuff was cool too, but this is extra cool. Bring me a heifer, 3 years old, a female goat, 3 years old, a ram, 3 years old. God bless you.
Thank you.
A turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he brought him all of these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now, what in the world is this? Why is he cutting stuff in half and laying them on the side of the road? What's going on here? Well, this was a fairly common ancient Near Eastern practice that happened between what was called a suzerain and a vassal. And so a suzerain was a sort of dominant king, a superior king, and a vassal would be a lesser king. And so what God is setting up here is this covenant, is this ancient Near Eastern practice that was done, you know, in that day. And he's calling Abraham to do that. But there's going to be this twist on this that we'll see in just a second. And so basically the way that that practice worked was when a dominant king, so a suzerain, this in this case would be God, and a vassal, so a lesser king, that being Abraham, entered into a covenant, which was essentially just an agreement between two parties. The lesser king, the vassal, would sacrifice animals, cut them in half, lay them on either side of the road, and then entering this agreement would walk between these animals that were cut in half. And basically what was happening was that this vassal, this lesser king, was agreeing to, hey, I've got to uphold my side of the agreement, and if I don't, I'm going to be cut in half like these animals. And so it was an intimidating experience. I mean, you can imagine that. Whoa, man, yo, man, I don't want to end up like these animals. I better not break my part of the deal. And so in some ways, we can see that, okay, this seems like this is what God is setting up between him and Abraham. Again, the suzerain, the dominant king, the superior king, that being God, and the lesser king, the vassal, being Abraham. But watch what God does. This is where God totally flips the script. God is a different kind of God than what we see in basically any other religion. Watch what happens. So in verse 12, as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Now, I don't know if you've experienced that before, but man, sometimes before I go to bed, if I'm in a tough spot, it can be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to sleep and, you know, it's bad. And I can have a nightmare or something along those lines. And you kind of get the sense that that's what's going on with Abraham. He's falling into a deep sleep and darkness, and this is not going to be good. And then look at this vision that God gives him in verse 13. Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. So, you know, God is essentially giving him this vision of what would be Abraham's descendants, multitudes in Egypt, enslaved 400 plus years. I mean, 400 he's talking about here, I believe, as sort of a round number. It ends up being 430 years that they're there in Egypt. But man, they were afflicted during that time. And so God is saying, this is what's to come. In verse 14, but I will bring judgment on that nation that they serve. So there's a challenge and there's difficulty, but there's hope in the midst of that. And God is being a voice of hope here as well. And afterward, they will come out with great possession. So not only will they come out of Egypt, which was just mind-blowing at the time, they were the most dominant nation in the world at that time. But they're going to come out of Egypt with great possessions, that they're going to have more than they actually need. And we see that take place when we read Exodus. But God is projecting this. God is giving this vision for Abraham. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. So when you pass away, you'll pass away before this. You'll go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And they shall come back here in the fourth generation. So back here being the promised land, being Israel, modern day Palestine, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Wait, what Amorites? What's that all about? Well, Amorites was a way of talking about the people who had possessed the land of Israel prior to the Israelites taking over the promised land. And so, you know, it's interesting that we see that because we understand that the people that had possessed that land were an evil people. And so as they possessed that land over centuries and centuries and centuries, the iniquity of the Amorites, their sin, had not yet been complete. And so God was going to bring judgment upon them later through Abraham's descendants. So this is the vision that God gives to Abraham, what was to come. And now this is, now check this out in verse 17. And when the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, in verse 18, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Cadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. And so, okay, so let's back up a little bit. So, okay, there's this typical sort of arrangement between a suzerain and a vassal, this superior king, less superior king, animals cut in half. Abraham was the one that was supposed to walk between those cut pieces and realize that if he didn't hold up his end of the covenant, which God had entered with him, that he would cut him in half. But the amazing thing about God was that he didn't ask Abraham to walk between those pieces. The torch, the flaming torch that went between those pieces, was representative of God himself. So what God is saying by this, and it's a foreshadow of what we see in Jesus Christ, that I'm going to enter this covenant with you. I'm going to walk through these pieces. And if the covenant is broken, which God was not going to break the covenant, humanity would, God's people would. What he was saying by that was that when that covenant is broken by you, I will be broken in half. I will send my son and he will die on a cross. He will suffer for you. He will die on a cross for you, to bring this covenant back together, to make things right. What kind of king, what kind of God does that? A loving God, a God that we can truly put our hope in, a God that we can worship, a God that we can love, and again, a God that we can put our hope in. And so two important things that I want us to take from this lesson tonight. One is, again, as it talked about in the Bible Project video, and as God said to Abraham, look, I brought you up out of Ur, out of the land of the Chaldeans. It was getting Abraham to reflect on what God had already done in his life. And, you know, for us, that's our call as Christians, to cultivate hope is to look back on the things that, man, we really struggled with, that we didn't know if we were going to make it, that we didn't know if things were going to get better. And they did because of God. We got to remember that. Got to remember that's the God that we serve. We also have to remember that God does not promise to cut us in half if we break our covenant with him. What God promises and what God has already done for us is that he sent his one and only son to make that covenant right. Even though we broke it, even though we break it, God wanted to ensure that through his son, we could find living hope, as it talks about in 1 Peter. That hope is made visible. And that through belief in him, through faith in him, through following him, through becoming more and more like him, we can be with God, we can hear his voice of hope, and we can be the voice of hope in a dark world. That's what we can take away from this amazing story of a loving God and his creation, that being Abraham. And so what I want to conclude with tonight, we're not going to have time to break out into breakout rooms, but I want to conclude with some lyrics from a song. And so, you know, I listen to all kinds of different music, but recently I've been listening to this song by One Republic called Better Days. And I was thinking about the song, and I was like, man, as I listen to the lyrics of this song, it really is a song about hope. And so I'm going to play it. You know, I'll share my screen with you so you can see it. And the lyrics are in there as well. So you might be familiar with this song, but I want you to at least check it out and listen to the lyrics. You can look at them as you hear them. And then after that, we'll close out with prayer. But just think about how this song, these lyrics are talking about hope.
Shed another tear for today. So I know that there'll be better days. Waking up in California, but these clouds, they won't go away. Every day is like another storm, yeah. I'm just trying not to go insane. And the city shining so bright. So many dark nights, so many dark days. But anytime I feel the paranoia, I close my eyes and I pray. Oh, I know that there'll be better days. Oh, that sunshine about to come my way. May we never, ever shed another tear for today. So I know that there'll be better days.
All right, let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we come to you, as we close out this lesson tonight, God, we just look at you and stand in awe of your goodness, of your love, of your mercy, of your compassion, of your kindness, and of the hope that you are in your very personhood. And that through your son, Jesus, we can see and have living hope. So grateful for his life, so grateful for who he is, and so grateful that as we look to you, that we can truly have hope, that we can look forward to better days, that we can pray for you, and that we can pray to you for the things that we have on our heart. God, so many things expressed at the beginning of the lesson tonight. Just different things that people are hoping for. And I pray that with all of the, I pray that you would bless all of those things. And I pray that in all of those things, people would look to you and realize that what we're actually waiting for is you, and that we can look to Jesus and see living hope. God, change us, transform us, help us to be a more hopeful people. Be with us when we lack hope, when we lose hope, and help us to realize that you are there with us in the midst of our despair and struggle. Thank you for this group. Thank you for our church. Love this group so much. It's just so great to be together in this way. We do hope for the day that we can be back together in person and just hug each other and laugh together and cry together and hold one another. And so in the meantime, God, I just pray that you hold all of us in your loving hands and in your loving arms. Thank you so much. God, we love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.